Welcome to the Fitness and Finance Podcast with Jeff Smith from The Retirement Smith and Jennifer Scherer from Fredericksburg Fitness Studio. True wealth isn't just about finances. It's about maintaining a healthy body and a secure financial future. The Fitness and Finance Podcast is here to help you build strength in both areas, tackling financial strategies for retirement, while also discussing ways to stay active, healthy, and energized. Now let's get started with Fitness and Finance. Welcome to Fitness and Finance Radio. I am your co-host, Tony Shore, and I am excited about today's show. That is for sure, because once again, Jeff and Jennifer have got a very special guest, a huge get for the show, an author, so much more. But first, I have to introduce our hosts, Jeffrey Smith and Jennifer Scherer. Jeff and Jen, love you guys. Thanks for having me on your show once again. I feel honored. We got to hang out in a professional television studio recently, great, which was fun. That was a blast.
That was so much fun.
Yes. Yeah. Between you wearing Jeff's shoes.
Yeah, that was pretty interesting.
And
yeah, I showed up with Jeff boots on and just, I was going to wait until he noticed, but I don't think he would have. So I had to tell him, you recognize these boots, Jeff?
He did too. He was like,
I was back in the dressing room. And he's like, I'm in the dressing room and there's this pair of fancy boots and they looked about my size and I'm like, I was changing my shirt. I'm like, I bet those are Jeff's. I'm going to wear them onto the set and see if he notices. So I came out with Jeff's boots on and I said, you know, you always told me I should try to walk a mile in your shoes.
I love it.
And I wish you'd had more comfortable shoes for me to do that in.
But yeah, that's a tough mile to walk in those shoes.
Yes.
Not a lot of arch support. No. Let me just throw that out there.
That's for sure.
But they sure look good. Well, hey, Jeff and Jennifer, I know everybody's dying to find out about our guest today. So yes, introduce our special guest.
Absolutely. So today we have Pat Board, who is author of Bench Pressing Threads of Faith, as well as Seeds of Fire. And before stepping into ministry and writing, Pat spent 31 years with the FBI, where she became a nationally recognized leader in training and education. Her contributions earned multiple awards, including the Just Works Award from the U.S. Department of Justice, and she was one of the FBI's early pioneers in distance learning. After retiring, Pat turned a simple goal to improve her health into an extraordinary competitive journey, becoming a five-time national bench press champion and winning the gold medal at the 2017 World Classic Masters.
So amazing.
Yeah.
But Pat's story is about far more than physical strength. It's about faith, learning through failure, forgiveness, and surrender how deeply God loves us. She teaches that God plants seeds of fire within us, truths that come alive when our resistance is broken, open, and true healing begins. And I know that firsthand as well. It's so valuable, her story. Mm-hmm. Pat lives in Fredericksburg with her husband of 42 years, Rodney. They have a son, Adam, who lives in Maryland, and a granddaughter, Lily Bell. She continues to inspire others through her writing, workshops, and retreats. Pat is such an honor to have on the show. We welcome you and thank you so much for being here, as always.
Yes.
Well, it is my great pleasure to be here. You know, I am thrilled at the opportunity to be on this show. It's been a minute since I've done this, and you know, it kind of feels good in a way. You know, yeah. I love to talk about God and what He's done in my life, and I really welcome the opportunity because I know He's here, right here with us now.
Of course.
Absolutely.
You know, He's guiding my words, and so whatever I say are what He wants me to say.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So if we could start out, Pat, just telling us a little bit about yourself and what inspired you to start competitive bench pressing.
Well, what inspired me? I was training and I was benching at the gym. And this gal named Brooke, she was one of the new trainers. I joke with her all the time and say, Brooke, your legs go to your shoulders. She has really long legs. And she's one of my dearest friends. Mm-hmm. In fact, I call her Brookster. And I was benching, I think I did 20 reps at 95 pounds. And apparently she was counting. And she came over and she said, "You need to compete in bench press competitions." And I laughed at her. I said, "No, no, 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 no. I'm not competitive." She said, "Yes, you are. Yes, you are." I said, "I still weigh too much. I didn't lose enough weight." She said, "No, no, no. You're fine. You are the way you are." And I want to tell you, Brooke was on me like white on rice about doing this bench press competition. I mean, every time she saw me, she would say, "Pat, when are you going to do it?" And I would keep saying no. And then finally one day I said, "Uncle, okay, I'll do it." Yeah. I didn't know what I was doing. Mm-hmm. And she said, "I'll tell you what," she said, "I'll compete in the same meet as you so we can go as friends." And I said, "Okay." So my first meet was actually the Virginia State Championship for the federation called 100% Raw. And I got in there and I had a blast. Mm-hmm. I had such a good time. When you compete, you only lift three times. You on round, you go and do a lift. In the next round, you go heavier. In the next round, you go heavier. And when I went to the third one, that bar flew up. I could have easily done at least 10 more pounds. Mm-hmm. And so my husband, Rodney, and I was driving home, and he said, "So what do you think about your records?" And I said, "What records?" And he said, "You just set a Virginia State record and then you broke your own record." I said, "No, I didn't." He said, "Yes, you did. Because I should tell you, when I compete, I don't hear anything. I really don't hear what's being said around me." He said, you didn't hear the MC say it?" I said, "No."
Before you go on, for our listeners, what does it mean, 100% raw? What does that mean?
That means that when you compete, and this is going to kind of sound a little awkward, you don't wear any supportive gear, which means you don't wear a bench shirt. And in fact, I have my bench shirt here.
Oh, yeah.
Jennifer's going to show you my bench shirt. This is the one I actually wore. It's the arms come out the front.
Look at that.
As you can see, Jennifer, there's not much stretch in that shirt, is there?
No. I don't know how in the world. I don't even know if I could get into it.
I think you could, but it would be like wearing two pair of Spanx, two sizes too small.
Yeah.
Ouch. Doesn't sound too comfortable to me.
No. What's funny is Shonda Pierce, a Christian comedian, talks about putting on, you know, Shonda.
Oh, yeah.
Did you hear her shtick about putting on Spanx on the airline with the Dallas Cowboys?
I've seen her do that live. Yeah. Shonda Pierce is great. Yeah.
She is great. And that's one of the funniest sticks she has.
It is.
But anyhow, it's very difficult. there's lots of pulling and tugging. And you actually get shirt bite marks on your arms because they're like mini abrasions. And once it's on, it's really quite comfortable.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of like wearing a compression shirt. Once you get it on, you feel good in it.
Oh my God.
It's getting it on is the problem. Yeah.
I think I would stick with 100% raw. I think that's...
Well, I'll tell you why I changed. Because I was invited in USA Powerlifting, which allows bench shirts, to the national team.
Okay.
And my first international competition was in, I think it's called Aurora, Colorado, right outside Denver.
Mm-hmm.
And... the people I would be competing against would wear a bench shirt.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So when I connected with Susie, you remember Susie, your former guest? Yes. She's my actual coach.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, Susie.
Mm-hmm.
Susie is awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But when I connected with her, I said, "Well, I want to wear a bench shirt." She said, "You don't have to." I said, "I know, but the other competitors are going to wear a bench shirt." She said, "Are you really sure you want to go down that road?" I said, "Sure, why not?" So we got a bench shirt, and then we had to go through the process of breaking in the bench shirt, which can be tough. It's very, very tough to break in a bench shirt. And so that's how I got into a bench shirt.
Mm.
And then I just stayed with USA Powerlifting because they had a bigger scope. I mean, 100% Raw has international competitions, mm-hmm. but they don't have the presence that USA Powerlifting has. Mm-hmm. So that's how I got in the bench shirt.
Mm-hmm. Well, any shirt that gives you abrasions, it reminds me, you and Jen, I mean, any food I have to massage, like kale, or any shirt that's going to give me abrasions, I just think those are things I should avoid.
Well, I found the secret with kale is to mince it up very, very finely so you don't taste it.
Boom.
There you go.
Boom. I wish I had a, yeah, that's it right there. That's boom. That's a good one.
So anyhow, what happened was, I went to my first international competition, and when you go to put on a bench shirt, there's you really want to have it as cool as possible because any sweat will make it more difficult. And I would use baby powder, you know, to try to absorb some of the sweat. Mm-hmm. And I went down to the warm-up room to see what the temperature was like, and it was an ice box. I'm like, this is going to be great. I go down there the next day when I'm competing, and it must have been 95 degrees.
Oh, no.
Yep.
So my trainer at the time was there with me, and Susie had taught her how to put on the shirt. Mm-hmm. But we couldn't get the sleeves up. Mm-hmm. We couldn't get the sleeves to come up because when you compete, your sleeves have to be above the bend in your elbow. They can't go over your elbow.
Okay.
And we couldn't get it up. And of course, like the tolerant child I am and the disobedient child, I did exactly what Susie told me not to. Don't get somebody else to help you put on your shirt. Mm-hmm. Of course, I didn't listen, but I was panicking. I was the rookie on the team, and I really felt like I had to really perform well. And we couldn't get the sleeves up. And then one of the super heavyweight guys from the U.S. team came over, this really, really big guy. And he was real sweet. And he says, I see you're having trouble getting the sleeves up. I said, yeah. He said, I can fix that for you. So one way you can get up, get your sleeves up is you have a stick that kind of looks like a drumstick, but you put duct tape on it inside out. And you kind of grab the back of your shirt and then pull real hard and it will come up. Mm-hmm. Well, it did. Wow. It did, but it came up too far. The shirt was too tight. I couldn't do anything.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I mean, it was so humid in that room that the guys on the warm-up rack had trouble because you use adjustable racks. I think Jen and Jeff know what I'm talking about. They had trouble getting them up. They kept sticking. That's how humid it was in that room. Jeez. So I get down to take my first warm up, and I couldn't even bring the bar to my chest.
Wow.
I couldn't do anything. And I really started falling apart, completely falling apart. And you know, that warm sense you get when you're panicking. Mm-hmm. I had that panic.
Oh my gosh.
And I tried two or three warm-ups, and I couldn't do diddly squat. Mm. And I just sat in a chair, and I put my head in my hands, and I said, Lord, what am I doing here? Mm-hmm. How am I going to do this? I cannot do this. Mm-hmm. You're the only one that can help me do this. I can't. I'm the rookie on the team. I'm representing the United States. I don't want to look like a fool, you know? And so long and the short of it is we can't do anything to adjust the shirt. It was unbelievably tight. So my coach and I, or my trainer and I, we get in the elevator and we go up to the floor where the competition was because they were on two different floors of the hotel. And when I got to the back of the ballroom where the competition was, I looked on, they have a big screen where you have your name and how many seconds you get. When the head referee says the bar is loaded, a 60-second clock starts. You have 60 seconds to get up there, get on the bench, and get the press command. I was down to like 34, 35 seconds. I'm in the back of the ballroom going, oh, not nice word. And I had the rest of my gear in my hands. And when you wear a bench shirt, you usually put a weightlifting belt on to keep it snug. I dropped everything on the floor.
Oh my gosh.
Right then and there in the back, I dropped my belt. I dropped my wrist wraps. I dropped everything. And I ran to the front. Okay. This was before my knee surgery. Run is relative. I get up to the top of the platform and the team coach looked at me and said, Pat, it's okay. You got 6 seconds.
Six
seconds. So I get on the bench and the head coach and the head judge says,
how big was that ballroom?
it was a large one.
Sounds like, oh, wow. Wow.
It was a large one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. You know how they divide them in half?
Oh yeah.
Okay. Well, this whole half was the competition and the other half was the on deck area. Mm. And so
6 seconds on the clock.
6 seconds on the clock. I get up there, I get in position and she says, press. And the next thing I knew, the bar was up.
Nice.
So Susie told me afterward that because I did not put on the belt and it was cooler in the competition venue, my shirt naturally loosened up.
Oh, gotcha.
When I did it. And I'm going to tell you, I mean, this was all God's doing. I didn't do any of this. Mm-hmm. I give all praise and glory to him, mm-hmm. You know? And so it goes fine. I get the second lift in and then on the third lift, in a bench competition, you have two spotters on the sides of the bar. So if they see that a lifter is not going to be able to bring it up the whole way, they'll grab the bar mm-hmm. and bring it up so that you don't get hurt. Mm-hmm. So I was on my third lift and I'm bringing it up and I didn't stop, but it was work. And the spotter on this side decided to take the bar from me.
Oh no!
Before the lift was complete. And then when the head referee saw that, she said, rack. And I'm like, I looked, my head coach was standing there. I said, he goes, nope, it's okay. I got it. Because at the competitions, there is a jury of judges in addition to the three judges around the bench. Mm-hmm. So if a lifter or a coach has a complaint about a procedure, they go talk to the judges. Mm-hmm. And my coach was there. He said, you don't have to say anything. I saw it. He said, just go stand on the side. I'll take care of this. So he goes and talked to the judges and they immediately said, no, we saw that. So he comes over to me and he goes, you got a fourth lift.
Nice.
Yeah, but I wasn't prepared for a fourth lift. Mm-hmm. Now I'm at the end and everybody said, she's going up for her fourth lift, everybody. And I'm thinking, oh crap, I got to make sure I get this lift. I don't want to be the dumb rookie, you know? Mm-hmm. So I got in there and I got the fourth lift and the fourth lift flew up. And so we knew that numbers were perfect and God was with me. Mm. And so at my very first international meet, I did take silver.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow.
And the woman that beat me was Hanna Takakova from the Czech Republic. And she is a beast.
Yeah, I can only imagine.
She opens it like, I don't know, 270 on the bar. And because in fact, before my third lift, I was talking to my coach. You have access to the score sheet. Mm-hmm. And she had her numbers in there. He said, let's see what her numbers are. Maybe we can squeak out a gold. I said, yeah. And we looked at her numbers and it was so funny because we both looked at each other and went, nah, it's not happening. She's been known to go to a world meet, an international meet, and just take one lift and come away with the gold. She doesn't even take her last two lifts.
Wow.
Jeez.
That's wow.
She's unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead. I have a quick question. What's when you're under that much weight in competition, like what's happening in your body and mind in those final seconds, like when they said 6 seconds, you know, before the lift. Mm-hmm. Like, is there breathing techniques? Are you?
No, I did nothing. I knew nothing about that stuff at this point.
Okay.
I went up there. So when I got back, you know, I had a training session with Susie and I said, Susie, we got to do something. I have to learn something about sports psychology or something because I'm falling apart there. And there's got to be a way to do this. And her husband, Matt, who is a brilliant, brilliant coach. Mm-hmm. And they both looked at me and they said, you need to read the book With Winning in Mind. Mm-hmm. And it was written by Larry Basham. Mm-hmm. And he was an Olympic pistol competitor. Oh, and he could never figure out why people who he knew were inferior to him would beat him at competition. Mm-hmm. And it was all about, oh, there I am with Adam in my bench shirt.
So cool.
So that is the bench shirt right
that
there,
is the
correct?
The bench shirt that I have in my yes. hands.
Yes. I think that was Nationals. Mm-hmm. Susie, Adam became my handler on trips, and Susie taught him all about putting on the bench shirt and how to take care of me behind the scenes. But
you look like you could take care of yourself pretty well there. I wouldn't want to meet you in a dark alley. I'm pretty sure at any point in your life you could take me. That is currently
you know
as
what,
well.
You know what you have going for you, Jeff? I have a really soft heart.
Oh, that's great. I can tell.
Knows it.
And I can tell. Nobody knows it. That's
nobody
funny.
Knows it. Yeah. It's my secret.
Yeah, that's keep that one a secret.
Well, I think the interesting thing about your story.
What I learned, pardon me, Jeff.
I said, I think one of the interesting things about your story is that, you know, usually, especially if you're a believer and Christian, I found that, you know, when things start out, they when you're trying to break through to something massive, there's always going to be heavy resistance, right? So for whatever it is, and it's really our ability to transition and say, you know what, I'm going to put this in your hands. I'm going to trust you. You know, I've experienced that myself in sports and, you know, triathlon. I, you know, everything that could go wrong did go wrong. I'm sure you experienced that, especially early on in your career of lifting. So how much did that faith play a part? Was that a big reason where you could just take a deep breath and say, you know what, this is all you, Lord. I'm going to step out of this situation.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Especially after this meet. Mm-hmm. I was at the bottom of the bottom. I was never so terrified in my life. And when I went into this meet, I was a music major in college. That's Susie putting a shirt on and I had to be funny. That's how hard she had.
Is she so, trying to choke you there?
Yes, or? She is. That's what I told her. She's trying to choke me. But I was a music major in college and I was very accustomed to performing in large venues with a lot of people watching me. Mm-hmm. And I erroneously thought that that was going to get me through the meet. Hmm. Boy, was I wrong. It didn't do anything. Hmm. But what got me through the meet was my faith in God, was that I had nothing. Mm-hmm. I literally had nothing. Mm-hmm. Everything I did was to his glory because he enabled me to do everything. Mm-hmm. I mean, I didn't start competing till I was 56. What 56-year-old woman does this?
Well, and you. What did it mean to step into that competitive weight, you know, bench pressing later in life? And how did that challenge the story all of us are often told about getting older and, you know, losing strength?
Right.
There were a lot of challenges. Mm-hmm. I mean, I had multiple injuries. I have some back injuries mm-hmm. that would periodically flare up. And at one point, I even got septic arthritis in my lumbar.
What even is that?
Wow.
I was in the hospital and on IV antibiotics for like 6 to 8 weeks.
So it's an infection in your bone?
It was between the discs.
Wow.
So, and it was around the facets.
Wow.
And I was gravely ill. I mean, I didn't know it till afterwards, but they were concerned I wasn't going to make it.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't upset about it. I was very positive about it, but
threaten me with heaven, right?
Pardon me?
Threaten me with heaven. Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Look, hey, what's the worst you can do to me? Send me to heaven. Yeah. You know, seriously, mm-hmm. I had a really good attitude. I kept being my silly self, I was beyond weak. And right before I had a pull out of the U.S. national team, I had been nominated for the U.S. national team to compete at Worlds five or six times. Mm. And I had a pull out of the last one because I started having the same issues with my back. Mm. And my orthopedic spine guy right away sent me for MRIs, and they right away brought in the infectious disease doctor because they were concerned that the infection had come back. Mm. And I really had to pull out of that meet. And it wasn't until later, you know, I realized that I came back from seven illnesses and seven surgeries to compete.
Wow. Oh.
But for those of us mm-hmm. who understand God's word mm-hmm. and understand him, seven is the number of completion.
Mm-hmm.
So I really believe that I completed what he wanted me to on that journey.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And he let me feel sorry for myself for about 2 weeks. No, I'm serious. I'd be at the gym and I'm just like, Jesus, I don't know if I can do this anymore, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then one day I'm walking away from the elliptical and he talks to me all the time. I hear him in my head. And I heard him say, you will start over as many times as I need you to, but I will always be with you.
Mm-hmm.
And so that just released me from that. Mm-hmm. I never did compete that last time. It was actually in Japan.
Mm.
And I didn't think, it was in Tokyo, I didn't think my back could take the pain on a jet that long. So then he channeled me somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he blessed me with dreams.
That's great.
I know I've shared this with Jennifer and Jeff, and I believe Jeff's had similar experiences, and he's the only one that I've spoken to that has experienced this. But the only way I can describe Christ coming into you is if you think about someone that you love beyond anything. Even close your eyes a second.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that person. Think about how your heart feels.
Mm-hmm.
Now double that feeling.
Right.
Multiply it by 10.
Not possible.
By 100. Mm-hmm. By 1,000. The thing I realized is when Jesus came into me and I actually felt him in me. If you read the book of John, it said, God is love.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
He is actually that feeling. You know, we turn our love on and off. His whole essence is that feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And so he started coming to me in dreams. And he would tell me different things and just different things would happen. And then, so I knew my life was going to be go in a different direction. And I was okay with that
mm-hmm.
because I had accomplished what he wanted me to do. Hmm. And it was time to move into another arena.
Yeah. I think our lives as Christians are one of experience, right? So you're there to experience things, but it's not ours to own, right? So we don't take on identities that don't belong to us. And we walk through processes, we walk through things, we get to see with our eyes, but the reality is it all belongs to him and his timing and what it is that he wants to accomplish. And we get to enjoy that ride in that journey. And I think that is one of the most important distinctions that we can make, that if we try to over control something or we're trying to push in any one direction, he's probably not in it, but if he is in it, you will have success. You will have
the success he wants you to have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's the big difference. Mm-hmm. And when you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, your life actually gets easier.
A lot easier.
Because we don't have to be in control. That doesn't mean we don't make unwise decisions and we're not reckless and things. Well, I can be a little reckless, but in the big decisions in life, you let him lead you. He's much smarter than I am. Yeah,
the Holy Spirit knows everything, right? So
he knows, he knows what's going to happen in 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. I don't. So what better way to get through life than have him lead you where he wants you to go?
He already knows that Tony's ordering pizza tonight.
I'm thinking about it right now.
So are you getting pepperoni, Tony?
Actually, I am making homemade pizza tonight. We'll have lots of veggies on it. You can come over anytime, Pat, as long as you promise not to hurt me. I will be, you could crush me just with one thumb, probably.
Well, I have this dear friend that's retired now along with me, and her husband is a really big dude. He's like 6'3", and he's like yay wide.
And you can just pick him up and bench press him, can't you, Pat?
No, but every time he sees me, he says, quick, Pat, bench press me.
I
love
it. I beat you to your own punchline. I love that. Of course he says that. Yeah.
You did.
So now, Jeff, could you keep up with Pat on the bench press, you think?
I don't know. I mean, I think my top weight, I think the benching is not my forte, but I've definitely thrown up 250. That is the biggest number that I've put up, but
reps, like she's talking about 20 reps of
I would be in the 175 to 180 range for 20 reps. But I don't think I could do I probably do 250 maybe 3 times. Mm-hmm. That's about my top end.
Well, my top end, I've bench pressed when I was fighting weight and about 17 in the high school gym. Mm-hmm. I could bench 200.
That's great.
That's really good. Jen, what's your bench?
Once.
I need to determine what my bench is.
I would say 150.
I have a very scary bench press story.
Oh,
okay. When I was 16.
Oh my gosh.
17 maybe? I was a teenager in high school. And at the time I was playing softball and my dad and I would go to the gym together and we would partner lift. And this particular evening, I wanted to get a jump start on the decline bench. And I assumed that he had switched the weight.
Deloaded it.
Back to my weight. Because of course my dad's 6'4" and, you know, double my size. And so I incorrectly assumed that he had switched the weight.
What happens when you assume?
Watch the language, Pat.
The Holy Spirit.
I didn't say it.
I'm kidding. I'm kidding. We have to edit out all of Jeff's belligerent and abusive language in shows. So. No, this is a Christian show. We're fine.
I got his weight off the rack. And as soon as I went to bend my elbow, the barbell came into my teeth. Mm. So these two front teeth are veneer.
Oh no.
Yeah. That was.
Yeah. Look at
I don't know if you've ever told that story on the show.
Yeah,
before.
No, I have not.
I don't like that story.
Whenever we get around Ralph and I want to make him feel a little guilty, I just look at those teeth and say, geez, Ralph, if you had paid attention, you know, a little better.
And Ralph's your dad, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My goodness.
Yeah. Well, that happened to her twice. She got her teeth.
Well, when I was about 12.
Poor baby.
10, 12-ish. Yeah. I was on the swing set with a friend of mine, a neighbor friend. And there was something called spider where you would swing together. I would sit on the swing and then she would sit facing me like a spider. And we'd both be holding on to the handles. Well, I was on the bottom and we were getting to go pretty high. And I think I just got scared and let go. And so she came on top of me backwards and she came on top of me and my teeth were horizontal in my mouth. They had dislocated.
Oh no.
So by the time I got the bench press injury, I was a seasoned, I was used to it.
Yeah. She's the dentist.
Oh my goodness. That's dentist, horrible.
College tuition for the kids. You know?
Yeah. The dentist. He retired. He went to Jeff and found out how he could retire at 50. Because of Jennifer's.
Right. We always joke too. That's such a funny joke. Funny. You know, we always talk about how we wish we would have known each other when we were younger, but when she was on that swing with a spider, I was drinking beers. So.
Oh, Jeff, you're not funny. That much older.
It was funnier in my head. It was really funnier in my head.
Yeah, yeah. We'll edit that out.
Said she wasn't drinking beers. Well,
at 12, yes, I would assume I she's not.
Yeah. Well, Pat, you've lived quite a life, and I wanted to ask you about your books before we have to go here. I know it sounds like you've written two different books. I have not read them. Are they still available? Can people get those books?
Mm-hmm. If they would contact me directly, I have some taken off. COVID, they were originally available through my LLC.
Sure.
But I had to shut down my LLC after COVID because I took a big hit.
Yeah.
The fees to keep the books available were getting outrageous.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so it really was a monetary decision. You know, they could reach out to Jennifer. I'm sure she has her email somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I have some books at home. They can. The first book, Bench Pressing Threads of Faith, talks about my journey through faith, losing weight, and my foray into bench pressing.
Wow.
My last book, Seeds of Faith, is a 31-day devotional that tells many, many stories from when I would minister to different people from different things, because I would learn a lot from God along the way.
Sure.
And I kind of felt like I needed to share these stories with people to know that God is always, always there. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I decided to write the Seeds of Fire.
Jeez, I'll tell you what, you know, Pat may be the third F in our FF. It might be faith, fitness, and finance from here on out.
There you go.
There you go. I love
that. You're adding an app.
Yeah. And if people want to get a hold of Pat or get a message to her, they can just go to fitnessfinancepro.com.
That's right.
And contact Jeff and Jennifer through that site and say, hey, I heard Pat Board on your show. And it's Pat, B-O-O-R-D, Patricia Board or Pat Board. Mm-hmm. And ask for those books. The devotional sounds great, too.
I know a couple of people who want that.
Yeah.
And, you know, Pat, I appreciate your ability to honor the Lord with your language and your stories. We appreciate having you on the show. Mm-hmm. We'd love to have you again. I know there's so much more to unpack here.
Yeah.
Wish we had more time, but we do thank you for being here with us.
It was an absolute pleasure. As I told you, I love to talk about the Lord. Mm-hmm. And I mean, he's my hero.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, he's the only one who's really going to love you for who you are, because he made you.
Right.
Mm-hmm. He doesn't do bad, you know? Mm-hmm. And I just love him dearly. And I love talking with him. And I thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to talk about Christ in my life. Mm-hmm. I could regale you forever.
Lots of stories.
Stories. Mm-hmm. The story. I love, if you can't tell, I love telling stories.
Oh, yeah. No.
It's awesome.
I absolutely love telling stories.
Sure.
I've been known to be a good storyteller.
Yes, for sure. We enjoyed it.
Yes.
Absolutely. Thank you.
So thank you so much, guys. Yeah. It has been a real pleasure. You touched my heart by inviting me. Mm. Thank you. I'm finally got to meet the infamous Tony.
Wow.
Okay. No, Tony. I watch you guys. I try to catch every episode.
Yep.
You guys do a great job, and I'm really, really proud of what you're doing.
Oh, thank you, Pat. And Tony, I hope you enjoy that pizza.
Yes.
Take a picture of it for us.
I will. Yeah. It's going to be delicious. I make a great homemade pizza. Lots of veggies on there for
6:30.
You.
And also, all right. I have to really quick shout out my Graham. She turns 82 today.
Graham.
Yay, Graham.
Your grandma turns 82 today.
Yes.
Yep. Wow, congratulations.
I know.
She just a few short years ago was wrestling a snake.
Yeah.
In her
on the roof.
On the roof, yeah. Show.
Yeah, just a couple years ago she was, and she's still chopping wood on the regular.
On the regular.
Wow.
82 years old.
Wow. For her.
Yeah, we're making her dinner tonight. We're having apricot chicken.
Mm-hmm.
Her favorite rice pilaf,
mm-hmm.
broccoli casserole.
Nice.
Wow. It all sounds
tomato.
Wow.
That is what
it's a,
Yeah, like a German chocolate cake or something like that.
Yeah. It's a shame she can't have something real special like my homemade pizza. No, that meal sounds incredible. Yes. Yeah, Jennifer always has to one-up me. I'm bragging the whole show about making homemade pizza. Jennifer's like, well, we have rice pilaf. Okay, here we go.
Oh, I love it.
All right. Pat, thank you so much. Just your stories, you're an inspiration.
Yes.
And you and your faith and your journey is great. Mm-hmm. And I know Jeff and Jennifer will have you back on the show at some point. And Jeff and Jennifer, one more time, let our listeners know before we go and viewers out there how they can get a hold of you. I know as far as whether you need fitness or finance or both, you're offering consultations. There's no charge, no obligation. Mm-hmm. How can they get a hold of you?
Yes. Yeah, so visit fitnessfinancepro.com. And then from there, you can book your free discovery call with Jeff and myself.
Mm-hmm. All right. Sounds great. And that does it for today's episode of Fitness and Finance Radio with our hosts, Jeffrey Smith and Jennifer Scherer.
Thank you for joining us for Fitness and Finance. Don't head into retirement without a plan for both your finances and your health. For more information, contact Jeff Smith at The Retirement Smith at 540-371-9777 or visit theretirementsmith.com. You can also connect with Jennifer Scherer at Fredericksburg Fitness Studio by visiting fbergfitness.com. Join us again soon for another episode of the Financially Fit Podcast.
All matters discussed during this show are for informational purposes only. Each individual situation may vary and the opinions expressed here may not apply to everyone. Materials presented are believed to be from reliable sources and no representations can be made as to its accuracy. All ideas and information should be discussed in detail with one of our qualified representatives prior to implementation. We are not affiliated with or endorsed by the Social Security Administration, the Federal Medicare Program, or any other government agency. Calling this number will direct you to a licensed sales agent.